It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning.
We've got it all covered for you right here.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, Emma Friedman, and everything sport.
Are you a tomato or a barbecue sauce?
Look, I hate barbecue sauce.
Too sweet?
The most rank thing.
Is it?
This
I'm a spicy red meat.
Is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Sure how I'd go.
And Triple M footies, Jay Clark.
Oh boy.
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Headers, the experts in undercar, no bull.
Yes, good morning. Welcome to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna on another beautiful Saturday morning in Melbourne town. It's fair to say. You know I like mentioning that, Joey. Hey, the top eight is set. The final eight is decided for the final series coming up next month. Only positions to play for and four Melbourne teams in the race to host an MCG final in a fortnight. It's a beautiful, a magnificent finish to the home and away season. As I say good morning to the 287-game St Kilda superstar, two-time All-Australian, all-round good guy. Good morning to you, Joey.
Morning, Jay. It is another beautiful morning. You're right. You don't just make it up. It actually is. Yep. But we know that's because spring is nearly in the air and finals footy is what comes out in spring. And you're right. The final eight is set. Now we've just got to get the starting positions on the grid. And really looking forward to tonight's game, the Hawks and the Swans. It's going to be an absolute beauty to see which team finishes top four.
And whether Lance Franklin will play tonight, we'll try and have the latest mail on that before the Saturday Rub Boys kick over at midday. But it's also an exciting time for the non-finalists, fair to say, Joey, because Mad Monday's just around the corner, it's fair to say. And, you know, these things would already be planned and set out.
Yeah, and there's always, so the game last night, both Port Adelaide and Essendon can't make finals. Yep. And now the problem when you're playing a Friday night, it's a long way till Mad Monday.
Yes.
So what happens is the inexperienced kids, the youngsters, the young bulls, they get straight into the drink. And by the time Monday morning comes, they are already as crook as a dog. They rock up and they're feeling terrible. The old bulls, like the Brendan Goddards and maybe the Cale Hookers of the world, they'll just pace themselves on Friday, Saturday, and they know they've got a big day Monday, so they don't go too hard early on the weekend. So it's going to be interesting for some of these inexperienced players after a Friday night game, how they prepare themselves for Mad Monday.
Maybe later in the show, question without notice, Joe, we can talk about what was the best Mad Monday experience you ever had. And we might talk about perhaps the time someone was lit on fire, because that was a bit controversial, wasn't it? But maybe you played a game or something about Mad Monday. But hey, it's been a massive week in Australian politics, hasn't it? We've got a new Prime Minister. Yes, another one. Scotty Morrison, ScoMo a go-go, says the Herald Sun. I was just wondering, Joey, when Nick Riewoldt was the magnificent captain of St Kilda for a long time, did you ever think of overthrowing or any sort of St Kilda coup in the background between you or BJ to try and take
over? I'm glad you asked about St Kilda. I thought you were going to ask me about Scott Morrison and what I thought of the current state of Australian politics. We won't go there. But no, there was a time when obviously Nick Riewoldt held the captaincy for a long time. Yep. He was the leader of our football team.
Yes.
There was a period where we maybe thought about having a vote and getting Lenny Hayes in, because Lenny Hayes was our you know, much loved character that we had as his deputy, Nick Riewoldt's deputy the whole time.
Yep.
And occasionally when Rui could ruffle a few feathers, there was a bit of talk about Lenny, but it never happened. Rui was a brilliant leader, and we were very lucky, and he had a nice deputy under him in Lenny that just balanced him out. So when he did get a bit hot under the collar, and he had BJ on his side, and they were one side really sort of ruffling blokes' hairs and getting under their skin, we had guys like Nick Del Santo and Lenny Hayes who
the
just used to calm the mood. So we were very lucky at our footy club. We had good balance. Yep. I sat in between both.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. The conduit.
Yeah, I was the conduit. Exactly right.
The glue guy. Lee Montagna. Hey, what does Joey think of? So is he a political fan? Or
Rui?
Rui.
No, we did actually. This is true. We used to joke that Rui could go for Prime Minister because he loves talking politics. He gets right into it. He's a passionate man. He's a very intelligent man, Nick Riewoldt. He always bangs on about our taxes in Australia and compares Australia to America and what America's doing well and Australia's not. And the roadworks bother him, the taxes bother him. Rui's got a lot of issues. So we used to joke that he would make a good Prime Minister.
Yes.
So we should get him on one day to have a chat. He's got a lot of thoughts. He's a very intelligent man.
Well, Nick, let's do that. Well, I guess with the St Kilda president changing and Andrew Thompson stepping down, we could see maybe Nick Riewoldt or Nick Riewoldt type one day, a Lee Montagna type one day, step up into that footy director role. There is a vacancy, Joey, We're going to start a campaign. Maybe not just yet, but someone like yourself could give that St Kilda board some footy nous and experience. I'm going to ask you about that a little bit later. We have a massive show. We're speaking to the Mona coach, Luke Trevena. We had him on earlier the year.
One of our best guests.
He was outstanding. So they're playing Nutterwadding, Joey?
I think, actually, if you remember, we got him on about midway through the year and we asked him what would he give advice to John Worsfold to pump up the Essendon team. Well, what happened to Essendon from that point on?
They turned it around.
They won about 11 of their last 15 games.
Masterstroke.
So maybe we might just give him a pep. He might be able to give one of the coaches a pep talk for one of the teams in the eight that might want to try and have a crack at the Tigers.
Oh, I like that. We're also speaking to Melbourne Storm legend, Ryan Hoffman. Melbourne Storm on top of the NRL table again. And James Brayshaw, JB, the captain of the Saturday Rudd team, we're going to have a chat to him. It's time to have a look at last night's game, Joey. A 22-point win by the Bombers. Jeez, they finished this season strongly. And Port Adelaide on the other side of that coin. Now, I picked them to make the top four. They have been absolutely so disappointing, Joey. And when you think about the recruits they got and the experience they've got in that team, well, where do you think that the power are at for next season? Because the salary cap there is very tight and they may lose, or they will lose, Jared Pollock.
Yeah, look, I'm really worried about Port Adelaide going forward. I think that's what's become a theme now is they're consistently inconsistent. On paper, you're right, they've got talent, but now it's about, well, you know, it's 4 years now. They've only played finals once and they didn't win that final. So they haven't won a final in 4 years.
Yeah.
Now, this is a team that's talent-laddened. They've gone and recruited and topped up with some senior players for the now. My view is I think they've missed their sweet spot. I think they've missed their window. If you look at their core group of players, Travis Boak's 30, Robbie Gray's 30, Westhoff, who starred last night's 31, Paddy Ryder's 30. The recruits they got into the club, Rockcliffe, Motlop and Watts, are all heading towards 28. Brad Ebert's 28. Charlie Dixon's going to be 28 next month. So their core group of players are, I think, heading towards the latter end of their careers. Well, they are. So
their best is behind them.
Their best is behind them. I think they've missed their window. I mean, after that sort of 2014-13 period where they looked like they were an up-and-coming team that was running over the top of sides, since then they've just plateaued. And they've been around the mark. They haven't been a poor team, don't get me wrong. But I don't think they're a team that's challenging the top four. And I don't think they're going there anytime soon. So I think there's some big question marks to be asked about Port Adelaide. What to do with their team? Do they now stick with this team that they've got for the now and have one more crack? Or do maybe they start trying to, you know, trade out a couple of players that still have a bit of currency and top up with some young players? Because I'm a bit concerned about Port Adelaide going forward. This was their sweet spot, and I think they've missed the window.
Trying to get Scotty Lyce at the West Coast ruckman to play backup or potentially frontline ruckman with Paddy Ryder, as you say, being more so in the twilight of his career. Let's have a listen to the coach of Port Adelaide, Ken Hinckley, last night.
This footy club has let everyone down. That's us. As a football department, we've let the football club down. We'll understand that. We'll look at it really, really closely, and we'll make the decisions that have to be made.
It's blunt. They're strong words. Very strong assessment from Ken Hinckley. Essendon, Joey, they will be the most hyped team of this summer. Joe Danaher comes back. Aaron Francis in his past two games looks like the best young player in the competition. Where do you see the Bombers going forward in 2019?
Oh, look, they will be much hyped for a reason. They'll be right up there next season as one of the premiership favourites. I think them and Melbourne, for me, are the two that you already, just without this final series being played, jump out as being the team that'll challenge or be up there with Richmond going forward. I love Essendon's list. I love their style. What I think they've done in the second half of the season, they've found their identity. They know what works for them.
What's that?
Well, they've got
the
that
pressure?
Speed, that pressure around the footy, that forward half pressure, but then their ball use, they take the game on. They've got runners. They've got Saad and McKenna and McGrath, Zaha Rakus, these guys that change angles, even Merritt and Heppel, not the quickest, but they change angles. They're always you know, playing with that sort of angles in their footy, and I like the look of their side. I think you keep Hooker and Hurley at home in defence. They've sorted that out. Stringer likes his progression. I think he'll continue to get better with Danaher. Fantasia's a star. They get one more big mid, which we know they're chasing, and if it's Dylan Shiel, well, wow, watch out. If it's someone like a Mitch Wallace, you know, that's going to help. They might miss out on all of them, but I think they've still got enough there that they're going to be challenging top four next year.
We'll get to Brennan Guide in a second, but if they do get Shiel and Mitch Wallace, do you think they could win a flag?
Oh, they can win a flag next year even without Shiel and Mitchell, without Mitchell Wallace, yeah.
The quality's there.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about your old mate, Brennan Goddard? I'll get your view on it in a second. Let's have a listen to Essendon coach John Worsfold pay tribute to Brennan Goddard after his last game in red and black last night.
We're just all blessed to have had the opportunity to learn from him and watch him up close and be part of a small part of his career. And, you know, just obviously nice that we've that he goes out in a win, and he had his the special people in his life here for the game, which rounds it out pretty nicely. And then now he's can reflect and see what happens going forward.
Should he go on, Lee Montagne, Brendan Goddard?
Oh, look, I still think he's got football left in him. But whether he should go on or not, that's only up to him. I've had this conversation with you before about players. That's up to him. Whether he wants to, I know he says at the moment he does, but that's only because he found out that his football career was over a few days ago. So he's got to have time to take it all in, work out what his football looks like. But what I do want to say about BJ, and it's probably been a bit of a bugbear, a frustration of mine. There's two types of commentary around BJ. The people in the media that only see certain snippets of BJ that think he's a bit demonstrative and he carries on a little bit. But if you hear any one of his teammates and coaches talk at either Essendon or St Kilda, they've got nothing but the utmost respect for the way Brennan was not only as a player on the field, but his leadership. He's been such a strong leader. I wish more players in AFL clubs had the passion and the intensity that he had, and you'd rather tone it down in a player than some of these other players that play football that you wish you could just get a bit more out of them in regards to caring about their teammates, caring about what the team's doing and where they're going. And you could never question that about BJ. He's been an unbelievable player, a really strong leader, ruthless. He's the perfect example of, if you had a kid coming through the under-18 system, mentally, what you wanted from a footballer, you want it from BJ. Because remember, he was a number one draft pick. He had to do it the hard way. There's always more pressure on them. Early days, he didn't quite find his feet, but he's turned into a terrific footballer, a terrific leader, and more importantly, a great man. So, yeah, all the people that have played with BJ have nothing but high regard for him.
I got a view that Collingwood should go there, Brendan Goddard, now that Matthew Schoenberg's down, out for a year with his knee reconstruction. Hey, Joey, I know you're a big horse racing man. It's judgment day for a particular horse today. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes, the Grey Flash, Chautauqua.
Chautauqua. Now, we've spoke to its trainer, Wayne Hawks, a colourful chat we had a few weeks ago, and well, it hasn't been jumping out from the barriers, and if it doesn't do it today at 1:28 at Rose Hill up in Sydney, then it's over. It's time to retire.
And she's still a star. They just can't get her to jump out of the barriers. Yeah. But you know why they're doing it today on a Saturday?
Why?
Because they're tricking her. They think that maybe she only wants to race on race day.
Oh.
So they've done the barrier trials have been Tuesday at 6 in the morning.
Yep.
And they reckon the horse might be going, hang on a minute. This isn't race day. So today they're doing it at 1:30 in the afternoon at the racetrack to trick the horse into thinking it's racing. Because that their owners go, no. The horse just wants to only jump, Rosie, when the races are on. It's
I understand
a smart
her dilemma.
So now that's what they're going to try and do today.
What's your gut feel, Joey? You're a bit of a horse whisperer.
My gut feel is she'll stay in the barriers and says, I'm done. I think she's been telling him that for about 3 months, that she doesn't want to race anymore. They just refuse to listen because she's so good.
Well, when it's won $8 million and has won 3 TJ Smith Stakes and has been twice voted the best sprinter in the world, then...
I can understand why they want to keep trying to get it out of the barriers.
Hey, speaking of dilemmas, I did have an issue this week. I got this old push mower, which is sort of... veteran status, it needs to retire, fair to say. So I had to get a shiny new lawnmower. I went down to Bunnings this week and I was confronted by this dilemma, Joey and Rosie, because now you can get either the petrol mower, right, which is what Dad had and all that, or you can get the new age battery mower, more efficient, cleaner power, lesser, more convenient.
Do you still have to pull the choke to start it?
No. Just an easy little switch, Joey, which appeals.
That sounds better.
Just a little push button. Anyway, so I walked into Bunnings and I thought, oh, well, Dad had the petrol mower and, the performance and everything. I can handle that. So I chuck it on the trolley. And just before I'm about to leave, I had to get, some other bits and pieces. I bump into a lawnmower rep. I thought, she'll know what she's talking about. I thought, I need a new lawnmower. What do you reckon about this number? And she says, well, why are you going the petrol one? Why don't you go the battery one? She says, what do you like at changing spark plugs? Clearly not very good, which is not rocket science. She said, well, the battery ones outsell the petrol lawnmowers 5-1. You got to get with a new age, get a battery one. So I'm there in Bunnings and I'm, battery, petrol.
So is that
petrol.
More just for your ego? You thought, I want to get the sort of the more manly one, the old petrol, old school one. Is that what you were thinking?
Basically, but then I thought about it. I'm like, I can't change an oil sump or a spark plug or any of that sort of stuff. So I thought, who am I going to call as a phone a friend here? Who's going to help me make this decision? I thought BT. He's a man of the people, man of the land. He'll make a brutal call. I couldn't get through to him. So I had to make the decision on my own and I've gone for the battery one. The rep's like, you'll be fine. This is great. How big's your yard? It's perfect. It'll last lasts for ages and you don't have to, you know, provide any maintenance. No worries. So I get it. I take it home, right? I'm happy with it. I didn't get to put it together. But then the next day, BT calls me back. Says, Clarkie, what's going on? I said, BT, I had to buy a lawnmower. This is my dilemma. He said, you didn't go a battery one, did you? He said, well, didn't you go the petrol one? They're heaps better. So I had buyer's regret. I've got the battery lawnmower. And not only that, it's meant to take about 30 minutes to put together. Joey and Rosie.
What do you mean put together?
Well, you got to sort of, you know, the handle and the wheels and, you know, all the bits and pieces.
Actually put it together.
Yeah, actually put it together. So it's meant to take about 30 minutes. How long do you reckon I've spent on it so far and do you think it's complete?
Well, every time you've come in and told a flat pack story, you have not got one put, you have not put anything together. Your bike, you couldn't put together. You had some wardrobes and some stuff you couldn't
put together.
Yeah. You reckon there were some drawings wrong the other week that wasn't your fault.
Which is true.
When are you going to learn that you shouldn't be going to Bunnings and trying to put anything together?
Well, I'm 2 hours in and it's about half complete. How do you
Where's your father-in-law when you need him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, come over, Dino. how do you cut your own lawn or
I've only got some lawn out the front. I've got the backyard. Just a little deck. I'm only got a little place. I don't have the big yard. So I just got the lawn. So I'm lucky I just get my next door neighbour to do it.
Oh, what? That's nice.
What my next door neighbour.
What do you mean?
My next door neighbour mows my nature strip.
So he's like a teenager, sort of 20 bucks.
No, it's my lovely next door neighbour, Sue.
Yes.
Sue.
Yeah, Sue. She's retired.
I don't mind mowing a lawn at the age of 42.
No, Sue.
How old is she?
Well, I don't want to get it wrong. I don't know how. Well, Sue would be, you know, 60s.
60s?
And I felt bad the other week because I was holding Noah and I was walking him up down the hallway and I looked out my front window and there was Sue just mowing my little nature strip out the
Joey.
Front. No, but she loves, she's got a, what do you call someone, a green that goes out in the garden. What would you call
she's
them?
She's got a green thumb.
Green thumb, thank you. So she's always out and playing around with her lovely lawn that she's got in the front and she always likes keeping the street nice and neat. So she mows my nature strip.
She's not doing it out of the goodness of her heart for you. She's doing it so her place looks good.
But she also understands that, I think she actually understands that I've got no idea and I don't have a lawnmower, so she helps me out.
Joey, the people who are listening to this, driving in their cars on the way to their junior basketball or whatever, have driven off their roads because you've got a granny mowing your lawn, mate.
Yeah, she's a grandma. Sue's lovely. We're very lucky that we have Sue and Jeff next door. They're always keeping an eye out
for us. So her husband doesn't even do it.
No, her husband doesn't do it. No, Sue does everything out in the garden and she mows
my
lawn
for
me.
I love Sue.
So thank you, Sue. Big fan of the show. She listens every Saturday morning.
It's extraordinary. absolutely extraordinary, Joe. You've got a granny mowing your lawn.
You've got to know what you're good at. Just stick your limitations.
We're both hopeless.
Joey and Jay-Z, Triple M's Dead Set Legends, with St Kilda great Lee Montagna and Triple M footies Jay Clark. The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
It is Saturday Scoreboard time. We wrap up all the big results from overnight around the world. And I'm going to start just with something, Joey. Extremely controversial. I can't believe it. The tennis champ, the GOAT, Serena Williams, has been banned by the French Open bosses from wearing her cat suit. I'm not sure if you saw this, Rosie, but in the French Open, I think Serena Williams had to withdraw after about 3 or 4 matches, but she was wearing that black lycra.
All-in-one.
Yeah, all-in-one.
Awesome.
Cat suit. Looked amazing. Absolutely amazing. Can you believe these backwards people from the French Open have banned her from wearing that again? They've singled that costume out in particular and said that they want a more conservative style of fashion dress.
I know it's too early for this, but give me a spell.
Very good call, Rosie. Very good call. Because, you know, she obviously had the she gave birth and she had that.
It doesn't matter whether she's given birth, had triplets, or has never had a child. It's fine. Why does she have to wear a skirt?
Well, that's a very good call, Rosie. I need you to take
over. It's not Wimbledon.
She said that the compression component of it helped with the blood clotting issue she faced.
Brilliant
Even more
idea.
Reason that it should be
Brilliant
approved.
Idea.
Be okay. What's wrong with these?
She's always been a trailblazer in that sort of regard.
Early good Give Me a Spell nomination,
Thank
Rosie.
You.
Joey, what do you got for
Some
us?
Some other news. Last night, a couple of NRL games. The New Zealand Warriors touched up the Penrith Panthers 36-16. North Queensland Cowboys in Jonathan Thurston's final game in Townsville. They put their best performance of the season together. They were one of the favourites at the start of the year, finished down the bottom. Mm-hmm. They won, though, 44-6 against the Parramatta Eels. Tonight is the Bledisloe Cup Game 2 over in Auckland. Australia, of course, lost last week 13-38 at ANZ Stadium. And the All Blacks now have a record 13 rugby championship wins in a row. So we can't get close to the All Blacks, but we'll give it a crack tonight over in Auckland.
Joey, they must be the most aside, say, from the Harlem Globetrotters, they must be the most respected team in world sport, must
Absolutely. They have been for about 20 years. Their culture is unbelievable. And, of course, don't forget the Super Netball Grand Final is tomorrow. Mm. The West Coast Fever, who have come from last on the ladder, are taking on the Sunshine Coast, who won it last season. So they're looking to go back-to-back. So that's been a great season on tomorrow.
Give us your tip on that one, Joey.
I think West Coast Fever will cause an upset. Ooh. Yeah, I think they'll go from cellar dwellers to premiers in one season. So okay. Looking forward to that.
Very good. Got anything else for us?
That's about it. Not much else going on the weekend.
Fair to say, Joey, we're going to talk to a man now whose team has been at the other end of the ladder for the best part of 3 years. We love him here at the Dead Set Legends.
One of our own.
His name is Luke Trevina. He is coach of the Ardmona Footy Club in the Kyabram District Footy League. And it's fair to say they've had a difficult season. 16 losses and one draw from 17 games. They play their final game of the season today. And, well, good morning to you, Luke. We hope it's, hope you can finish on a high note.
Yeah, well, hoping we can just come out and just give it our all in the last game today, because the last few weeks they've been showing a bit of passion, these fellas, and to come out this last game and still pull together a full side is still amazing in my eyes.
Well, we spoke to you in May, Luke, and it's fair to say the season hadn't started that well. Have you seen any green shoots, as Brendan Bolton would say, throughout the second half of the season?
There has been a few green shoots with a lot of the younger players coming through, getting the opportunity to play a few senior games and making their debut. And I'm all for that, because we've got to keep these young fellas at the club, and I'm loving the young fellas coming through, playing great footy and just wanting to be in that senior team.
Now, Luke, one of the positives of this season, and a lot of Essendon fans want to thank you, is when we had you on earlier in the season, and you're a terrific coach, keeping your team full of energy and up in spirits, and we asked you, what advice would you give John Worsfold? Because at the time, Essendon were 2 wins and 6 losses. They weren't fulfilling their potential. And we asked you what your suggestion was to John Worsfold. Let's take a listen back to what you had to say.
Perfect.
Well, do you know what's happened since you gave that bit of advice to John Worsfold, Luke?
I haven't really lost a game.
They finished the season 10 wins and 4 losses, mate. So, you know what? John Worsfold took your advice on board. He kept his chin up. He got his team back on track, and they just missed out on finals. So what I want to ask you now is, there are 7 teams that are going to be playing finals that are all going to be trying to chase Richmond. They are the team to beat. You've come up against a really strong team in your league. What advice would you give the other coaches on how they could potentially beat this team that is the Richmond Tigers?
Well, pretty much. Richmond have got the experience come finals, so they've been the number one team to beat all year. So they're going to come finals next week, they're going to step it up another level. So all these 7 other teams are going to step it up, have to step it up another 2 levels at least to compete with them, I reckon, at the moment. So pretty much each team's got to go back to their basic football and just kick the kick pretty much on the field and hit them targets. Otherwise, Richmond are going to gobble up their clangers and pick them away each game, I reckon.
Yeah, I like that advice. It's very good. Hopefully the other 7 coaches are listening, Luke, because that is what you need to do to beat the Tigers, because you are right. They've got the experience and they are going to crank it up. So the other teams need to lift it 2 notches, not just 1, Jay.
Good,
you know
Joey.
Why?
Good
if you
advice.
Only lift it 1 notch, you're only lifting it to the same level as Richmond, who are still better than
you're
you.
You're bloody right,
so
Joey.
You need to lift it 2 notches. So good advice, mate. Now, the big reason for this call is next week, on the bye weekend for the AFL, you are playing against the Nunawading Lions, who have been playing in the Eastern League, Division 4. They also haven't won a game for 3 years. So it's a battle of the battlers, let's be fair to say. Someone is going to win this game. But there's $10,000 up for grabs for the winning club. Talk us through what your preparations are for this game, how you're going about it, and what the preparation looks like for this game next week.
Well, at the moment, the boys are really keen. I gave them the opportunity, say, 3 weeks to go to start showing more enthusiasm at training and wanting to be in that side and wanting to play seniors up until that game. So at the moment, the morale at the club, I've got a full side today. I've had a full side ever since I've made that speech to all the players. So I'm hoping next week I've got going into a good game for a good experience for all young and old players. So we're just preparing like we do any other game, pretty much. So I'll give it, pretty much gave it to the opportunity of the kids and the other players to make an opportunity for themselves to actually put their own spot up for grabs in that side.
Oh, I like it, Luke. Of course, Triple M's own Nathan Brown is calling that game, so it'll be an absolute beauty. Does that mean you're just sort of putting back Mad Monday for a week? Because I reckon if you win this game and pocket 10 grand, Mad Monday is going to be on, Luke.
I'll tell you what, it'll be like a grand final win for us after not winning for 3 years, mate. Definitely, the boys will be up and going, definitely for, I reckon, a couple of weeks.
Do the boys know the theme song, Luke? That's the big question. Oh, if you do win, do the boys know the club song?
I did put that to them this week at training, and they all looked at me. I go, walk back in the rooms there and check up on the wall, boys, and make sure you do know them words.
Sharp, that's it. Sharpen up on the song. Like it. You might have to just practice it because you've got a big opportunity to beat Nunawading next week. They haven't won a game for 3 years. They've gone 0-18 this season, Jay. Their percentage, though, is at 4%, where the Ardmona boys are only going at 1.9% on the ladder. So it's going to be a beauty, but I reckon you've got a big chance to win. And with a coach like you, mate, inspiring the team, everything's possible. So good luck. It's going to be at Blackburn North's Kunung Reserve next Sunday, September 2. Nunawading taking on Ardmona. Battle of the Battlers. Someone is going to win a game and get to sing that theme song. But more importantly, Luke, someone gets to take 10 grand home for their club. And you can really do with that and maybe try and recruit a couple of players to help the side out going forward.
Definitely. That's what it's all about, mate.
Lukey, all the best from us at Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Another massive day of footy coming up. Stick with the M's. We'll have it all covered, including Collingwood's bid to host a home final, a top two spot on the line. Can you believe it, Joey? Where we were last year talking about Bucks, would he be re-signed? No, it's the story of the season, do you think?
No, I think it is. I think he's coach of the year, absolutely. Yep. What he's been able to do, as you said, not only with what they were coming off the back of last season, but their injuries to still perform the way they are.
Yep.
It's all credit to not only Nathan Buckley, but the whole coaching Collingwood Football Club for sticking with him, because they are having a sensational season and are still, even though they've got these injuries, they've got some players coming back in the next few weeks, I still think they are a legitimate threat to the Tigers if they meet them in a grand final.
Obviously, the big news is about Sam Murray. His positive drug test. We'll talk about that in the second hour, and with the AFL is winning the war on drugs. But I want to ask you about some AFL coaches right now, Joey, because Nathan Buckley, Simon Goodwin, Alistair Clarkson and Adam Simpson at West Coast are the four coaches who are out of contract next season. Now, is it fair to say that Simon Goodwin and Nathan Buckley are absolute no-brainer extensions, as Paul Roos says, for next year? You do that in the off-season, just get it done, locked away.
To be honest, I think all four of those names you mentioned are all locks to be extended. Mm-hmm. I can't see why, of course, Simon Goodwin and Nathan Buckley, absolutely, you extend their contracts. And I can't see why you would not extend Adam Simpson's contract. I know we hear some different reports coming out of Perth, but I think he's doing a sensational job with that team. And then Alistair Clarkson, that's a no-brainer for me either. The best coach, probably one of the best coaches in the history of the game. So those four certainly should be all re-signed now. When it's done, I don't think that's necessarily the biggest issue. I know it gives the media a bit to talk about if they're not signed heading into and the next season started.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally you would like to do it, but I don't think it's a huge issue.
Hang on that, Joey, because going back to Ross Lyon at St Kilda, right? Ross wanted to get the deal done in like April, May.
Yep.
He and his manager, Liam Pickering, went to the negotiating table. The Saints held off, left it till the end of the year, and he jumped out the window because the door was ajar. So don't you think it is important in that sense? Because you don't want a club like Fremantle to come in and poach your coach.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, absolutely. So that you're saying more on the back of, I just mean that the clubs would want these coaches there. But you're saying, it's for the club's sake, just to be careful not to allow even the thought of these coaches being poached by another club. Yeah, in that regard, you're right. They should all be signed up pretty quick because, as I just said, all four of them are having great coaching stints at the moment. They're in great form. So, for the sake of that little bit of thought that they might be poached, you sign them up as soon as you can.
A big tick in particular, I think, Simon Goodwin, 2 years in charge at Melbourne. This club was in such a dark place, their darkest area only, 5 or 6 years ago before Paul Roos came on board. I love what Goody's doing there at Melbourne. Also, some change at the top at St Kilda. Your old club, Joey, with Peter Summers stepping down a little bit early. It's fair to say things haven't gone that smoothly at the Saints this year. He'll be replaced by Andrew Bassett. Andrew Thompson, the football director, also stepping down. Now, yourself and Nick Riewoldt, as Nick Riewoldt confirmed last week, you know, have been informally asked whether you guys would ever consider accepting a position on the board as a football director. Is it something that would ever interest you, do you think? and or would Nick Riewoldt be perfect for that?
Oh, look, certainly it's something that I think interests both myself and Nick because we love the football club, we love our football, and we feel we've got a bit of knowledge to help. In regards to right now, certainly not for me, I don't think the time's right, and probably Nick has been more formally approached than I have, and I think Nick would be brilliant as a football director, a bit like we're seeing with Chris Judd at Carlton now. Nick would be sensational at whether the time is right now, being so fresh out of the game, doing such a good role in the media. I'm not sure whether the time is right now, but certainly Rui down the track and when or whenever it is, and if he ever does do it, I think he'd be a brilliant football director.
Would it interest you?
I would, yeah. As I just said, I like that side of things. I would like to be involved at the football club. Now's not the right time. I think I've still got a lot of experience to go and a lot to learn, but certainly would love to be involved with the football club at some stage. But I think it's selfless from Peter Summers and Andrew Thompson. I think they're aware that, you know, change is needed to get this club back up the top of the ladder. So I think they've done a great job, both Peter Summers and Andrew Thompson. I must give them credit. I think they've been excellent for the football club, but with all things, it must come to an end, and the timing's probably right to get a bit of a freshness around the board. So I just want to thank them for their contribution. Hopefully the new president and board members can get the club back up the ladder.
Bit of fresh blood down there at Moorabbin.
Joey and JC, Triple M's Dead Set Legends, with St Kilda great Lee Montagna and Triple M footy's Jay Clark.
But we have a monster day of footy to finish the regular season. Of course, Richmond versus Western Bulldogs from 12. The Saturday Rub Boys will be all over that. Plus, Geelong versus Gold Coast. Joey, you'll be headed down the highway for that. Collingwood make the trip over to the West to try and cheer up a top two spot against the Dockers. And Sydney, of course, host Hawthorn for a double chance. Unbelievable story at Waverley. Can Alistair Clarkson rebuild his football club in just 2 years? He's an absolute freak, Joey. But I want to ask you, my friend, who, after watching Aaron Francis last night, sitting back on the couch, this bloke, his past fortnight, you know, maybe he could have won the Rising Star if he'd played the full season. Who are you most excited about? Who will be the breakout players for 2019?
Yeah, you're right. Aaron Francis was amazing last night, and the whole football world saw him. And look, there are a few other names for me that jump out, and I went a bit obscure. I don't want to go the obvious ones that everyone can see, although in saying that, one of them is pretty obvious, but I really think next year and this future is going to be pretty exciting. And that, for me, is Cam Rayner.
Yes.
I see glimpses of a young Dusty Martin in him. I think he's got that. They're the best, we've spoken about on this show, the best players in the competition are these midfield forward types that can take a big mark. They're powerful, they're strong. Jordan Dugowie, we know I'm a big rap for him. So Cam Rayner's one that I'm excited to see his upside because I think he could be anything. I like him. The two others are a little bit obscure. Mm. The one next season that I think can have a really good year that I'm looking forward to seeing, Asava Radigalia.
Ooh.
We caught a glimpse at the start of the year, didn't we?
Yep.
And I know Chris Scott and the Geelong Football Club rate him highly.
Smashes packs.
He's even half a chance to come back and play in the finals.
Oh,
I think he's back playing football this week after his broken ankle. He could play. He takes big marks. He's exciting. He's athletic. Imagine him and Tom Hawkins next year in the Cats forward line. So Radigalia is one for me.
Yep.
2019 must-watch list, along with Cam Rayner. And the other one, and this guy has grown on me. I really like him, and I think he can be an absolute beauty, is Billy Gowers at the Western Bulldogs. I've done a few Western Bulldogs games this year, and at the start of the year, he played predominantly as a forward, and he was kicking goals. He was one of the only few players, I think, for the first 10 rounds of the year that he kicked a goal every game. He's a beautiful long kick. He's powerful, but I saw him go into the middle in a couple of games in last quarters and just turn the tide the Western Bulldogs' way. So again, a lot like these players that can play predominantly as a forward but can pinch it in the midfield. They're powerful, they're strong, they're a beautiful kick. I think Billy Gowers is one to keep an eye on. I'm a big rap for the Western Bulldogs for next season. I think they will make the eight next year, the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They won a flag 2 years ago. Their core group of players are in that right age bracket. They're all 23 and under. If you think of Bontempelli, McLean, McRae, Hunter, I really like the progress of Shacky. I think he's coming along nicely now with Billy Gowers. Norton and Richards are both young guns. Zane Cordy and Marcus Adams. Oh, I really like the Western Bulldogs list profile. I think they can be the big riser, and Billy Gowers is one to keep an eye on 2019.
Well, Sammy Powell, the new list manager, needs to get busy re-signing Lukey Dalhouse. I think there's some interest from Geelong. Mitch Wallace, Brisbane and Essendon are into him. And of course, Jordan Ruffhead may be off to West Coast if Scotty Lysett leaves. That's the big trade puzzle, which will happen over the next month or two. Joining us on the line, well, he's been the captain of the Saturday Rub team and the best call in the business for a very, very long time. James Brayshaw, good morning to you, JB.
Joey, Oh, nice to be here, boys. What's going on, please?
Well, we've just been chewing the fat, really, over the various football issues that have been going on, JB. Look outside. It's a beautiful day. Now, an athlete like yourself, I'm sure you've sort of been for a run or just done your boxing routine or a bit of a gym session. What have you been up to?
No, I haven't done any of that. Got up and had myself a coffee, read the papers, which took me about a minute and a half, and then I'm in the car driving to the MCG. I'm actually going to be here for the Richmond match against next year's Premiers, the Western Bulldogs, according to Joey Montagna.
Thank you, JB. I am a big rat. Well, you're not so sure on the Western Bulldogs going forward. Yeah, have you seen them?
You remind me of Bill Brownless. Every year Bill says to me, no, I like the way the Lions are building. I like what Brisbane are doing. I said, Bill, they've got the number one draft pick overall because they finished last. That's why they ended up with Cam Rayner, because they're the worst team in the comp. How can you tell me that they're building towards something? I don't understand his rationale, but the Western Bulldogs do have a bit more in the bank, but well, you'd want to see more from them too.
You would, mate. JB, but I can sit here and be like, I mean, Aaron, my wife, could sit here and say, oh, Melbourne and Essendon are going to be good next year, or Richmond are going to be good next year. So I've got to give the listeners something. I mean, you can't just give them the same obvious stuff every week.
Well, try and turn around Port Adelaide then, please, because, by geez, that's a horrible last 7 weeks they've just endured. There'll be some soul-searching at that joint, I reckon.
No, I actually wrote them off, JB, earlier in the show. I think they've missed their sweet spot. I think they've missed the mark on their chance to try and win a flag. I think you look at their core group of players, they're all sort of heading towards 30, and I think they might need to shake it up a little bit there because they've just been a constant tease for the last 4 years.
Yep, I'm not disagreeing with any of that. I thought they were really disappointing last night. Mm. And to lose, what, 6 of the last 7, Jay-Z?
Shocking.
That's especially from our position within the top four. I imagine, let's put it this way. A board I used to sit on would have found that very hard to tolerate.
And you made that very brave decision, obviously, moving on some of those veteran players, which has turned out to be a very smart move for your footy club, because you're on the way up and now a big chance to secure Andrew Gaff and Jared Pollock in a 1-2 midfield punch. What a move that would be for the Kangaroos and footy manager Cameron Joyce in particular. JB, I just want to touch on the draft picks for a second. There is a conversation or a chat at the moment that these bottom clubs, Carlton and Gold Coast, could be rewarded, if not a very early pick, then another sort of mid-first round pick, somewhere in between 10 and 12. And that comes instead of the end of first round pick, which would be 18, 19, 20, which is what happened in the past few years. What's your view on, you know, more favourable assistance to these bottom clubs, JB?
I don't like it. I never have. I think the first 18 picks in the draft should be absolutely sacred.
Protected.
Unless you trade them out, of course. But otherwise, if you win the flag, you get pick 18. If you lose the grand final, 17, and so it goes. And then if you want to compensate clubs, or if you want to help clubs with priority picks, then you can do that beyond there. Because the draft is the thing that talks to the integrity of the competition more than anything else, in my view. You have the draw, which is compromised and always will be, which I don't agree with either, by the way. But, you know, the money and the KPIs that drive the AFL, which are eyeballs on television and attendance at grounds, will always see the draw be compromised, but the draft cannot be, in my view. And if you allow picks, you know, 10, 11, 12 to go to clubs that have already had picks 1, 2 and 3, then you're talking to the integrity of the draft, and I don't like it. Never have and never will.
And it sounds like with Mitch McGovern leaving Adelaide, Carlton very much well a chance to try and secure him if they get sort of that bonus pick around 10, 11, 12. That's something we'll watch and see. I just want to ask you about last week's Saturday rub, JB, because we love the King Wayne Carey for his upfront, forthright views. And last week he said Joey's old mate, Brennan Goddard, was cooked and that he should retire, and basically that he didn't have any AFL footy left in him. And then about 30 seconds later, BJ walked in that door and then had a chat with the Duck. How, of all the awkward moments of the season, that would have been right up there?
Yeah, it was superb. And there was a bit of the yibbida-yibbida coming out of the Duck, because he was just off-centre for a second. And BJ Of course, Joey had no idea what had just been said, so I saw it as my role to furnish him with that information.
Of course you did.
And then once I told BJ exactly what had been said, it got a little frosty there for a second, and that's what I like. I like it being frosty.
I like it, and I love how you boys are prepared to throw each other under the bus on the Saturday rub. You don't seem to quite have the same unity as this Friday huddle crew that they all love each other. They go to Judd Corp. Now, last night, they all went out for dinner afterwards. The Saturday rub boys going to do something similar tonight. Are you all going out for dinner? Is BT hosting a dinner? What's going on with the Saturday Rub crew?
No, we're not doing any of that because we, in effect, don't like each other very much. Whereas that lot, that's close to incestuous the way they behave. I can't get my head around their behaviour at all. It's un-Triple M. We've never... Like, I tell you, Joey, when I first came into this amazing organisation, it was about 2001.
Yep.
Sam Newman, himself, Dermot Brereton, the great Jason Dunstall, BT... You know, that was the sort of back line. And none of them spoke to me, but what was almost more interesting to me is none of them spoke to each other. It was just the most extraordinary sort of setup I'd ever come across, and that's how Triple M roll. So the way these blokes are carrying on is, they should be heading off somewhere else if they're going to continue.
Well, I like it, JB. Hey, thanks so much for joining us, mate. We can't wait to tune in, of course, the Saturday Rub Boys from 12, Richmond versus the Western Bulldogs at the MCG.
All right, nice one, boys.
Thanks,
JB.
Later. He is the best. Let's
great be listening Saturday, Rub.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
Jay, if you're in the car this morning and you're on your way to kids' basketball or you're going shopping and you're hearing a bit of a creak or a squeal or there's some shutters or vibrations in your car, it is not a good sign, is it?
It's a bad sign, Joey. Your car is trying to tell you something, and you know what you need to do?
Go to Petters.
You need to get straight to Petters. Get a winter brake, steering, and suspension check. It only costs you $28. How much can you...
It's a long lunch.
The safety of your family, Joey. There's nothing more important. $28. Visit petters.com.au. No ball. And after you've done that, Joey, I'll tell you what, you can go down to Amy Park, get your Storm merchandise and get ready for tonight's game because, our Storm is a chance to take out another title. And we have one of the legends of this club, Joey, one of the greatest players in the club's history. It's Ryan Hoffman joining us on the line. And good morning to you, Ryan.
Morning, gentlemen.
What are you driving these days, mate? We just sort of said, make sure you get the car check, get down to Petters. What's what are you getting around in these days?
I'm driving an Infiniti, actually.
Oh, that's a nice
QX70, very, very nice little car.
Oh, yes, we'd like a burn around in that, mate. Hey, some unfortunate news. You're out with a hamstring injury at the moment, and it sounds like one of the more serious ones. It's tendon related. You're in a race against time to come back this season. How's that travelling?
Yeah, not too bad. Look, I think it was about nearly 2 weeks post the injury. I ruptured the central tendon in my left hamstring. Probably the only good thing about it is that I actually didn't rupture it sort of running. I ruptured it sort of overstretching. So I'm actually might be a chance to get the recovery time, which they say is about 8 to 12 weeks. I'm trying to get it down to 5 to give myself a chance to play again. But, it's fingers crossed. All the rehab's going well so far, so we'll just see how we go.
Hoff, fingers crossed you do get back, mate. But I was just listening. That's exactly what I did my last game of football, mate. I did my tendon injury about round 16, so it was a bit early last year. Unfortunately, the Saints didn't do me a favour and didn't make the finals, mate. So I wasn't able to get back for a farewell game. But hopefully you do, because the boys are travelling nicely. We know you've got a few injuries at the moment, with yourself included. But you're hoping for a big tilt at the finals. Tell us what you think the boys need to do to have a crack at going back-to-back.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Look, we give ourselves a good opportunity sitting where we are at the top of the table. We've got a very sort of dangerous clash tonight against the Gold Coast. They, they're a team that you don't know what you're going to get from them. And as we said, we do have a few injuries, but it's also a good opportunity. I mean, we're coming in the finals soon. So to be able to give some of these blokes a chance that have been on the fringe of first grade, give them a chance to get a game in before the finals, I think is going to be valuable. And, what's been really impressive, certainly last week, was our grit and defence. So, that's what you need to have leading into the finals, I think, to give you best chance of going as deep as you can.
Absolutely. And, of course, Billy Slater playing his last season, and yourself, the boys no doubt will want to go out winners. So we can't wait to see you in the finals and see how you go. Of course, we're chatting to Ryan Hoffman, Melbourne Storm staff. Played 324 games, mate, for the Storm. A few other clubs. You've played for New South Wales. You've done the lot. What have been some of your greatest memories in your time, mate? Because it's been a wonderful career. You've had a lot of highs. What stands out for you as your greatest moments?
Oh, certainly the grand finals that we won. You know, it's an obvious one. That have been fantastic, but probably the proudest I've ever been in the club is the way we dealt with 2010 with the whole salary cap dramas. You know, we had 18 rounds playing for absolute zero, but we still, you know, if we were alive in the competition, we still would have finished fourth. So that just showed that this club, how much it means, how much the fans mean to us by, you know, how we can come back from a hell of a lot of adversity, and for the following year after that, the club to make the prelim, and the year after that for us to win the grand final really showed what this club was all about, and I was very proud to be a part of it.
That's interesting, Ryan, because I think most people would, you know, think that sort of experience would leave a sour taste in your mouth. But you're saying for you, you know, that there's some, you know, you take a lot of heart out of how the club handled that.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, that could have been the death knell for the club. You know, the club could have finished after that, just not been able to pull itself out. But, you know, we had some fantastic leadership in Craig Bellamy, and that's what I think, you know, Craig really showed what he is about as a person, as a coach, being able to galvanise this side.
I agree.
And, you know, just to show the grit. So we do have some substance to this club. And, you know, as I said, it was a very proud moment out of a horrific time.
And what about Cam Smith, mate? How's he travelling?
Yeah, because Smithy doesn't send the age, does he? But yeah, he was under a bit of a cloud with
he had the back,
which is very unusual for him. He hurt his back, but he's trained nearly every session this week, so I think he's going to be a definite starter tonight.
He's good to go. Now, lastly, before we let you go, Ryan, retirement, of course, coming up. Joey retired. You know, he put on a few kilos, fair to say. he got stuck into, you know, Nonna's pasta and the extra chicken schnitzel. He's now a star lawn bowler down at the Port Melbourne Lawn Bowls Club. What are you looking forward to doing, mate, in your retirement?
Yeah, I think my wife is more happy than anyone. My wife wants to see me get fat. She's had a go, which is happening. She's actually excited for the stage. But no, look, I'm going to be still involved with the Melbourne Storm. I've got a role in football operations, something I've been working towards for the last 6 years.
Oh, great.
So, I'm really excited that I'm still going to be a part of the club and be a part of the team and hopefully give back to this club that has given me so much and what I can do off the field.
Well, I tell you what, listening to your talk, Ryan, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind why the Melbourne Storm would want to keep someone around like yourself. I keep telling you, Joey, people like Ryan and yourself, Luke Hodge, Jared McVeigh, they're important at sporting clubs, heart and soul types, of course, to keep around. Hey, good luck with the recovery from the hamstring and for Melbourne Storm's back-to-back title bid. Thanks for joining us today, Ryan Hoffman.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for your time.
Craig Bellamy did say he's the greatest clubman he's ever coached. And you can see, I mean, the way that he spoke about there through that dark period and the spirit that he has for the Storm, he's a Storm man through and through. I know he went off for a few other clubs, but Ryan Hoffman's been an absolute star. And one of the reasons why the Storm have such a strong culture and have been so good for so long.
They're absolute geniuses down there at the Storm. And we thank Ryan for joining us.
Joey and Jay-Z, Triple M's Dead Set Legends, with St Kilda great Lee Montagna and Triple M footies Jay Clark.
You've delivered some golden lines on the show this year, Joey, and it's fair to say that was one of them. Welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and the man, of course, Lee Montagna. When are you going to bring a pot of that in, mate, so we can all sort of share?
Nonna's homemade sugar.
Yeah,
actually, Nonna, listen to the show.
Sugar.
Nonna, if you're listening, Jay would like some sugar, please. We'll have to bring some.
I like where this is headed, Rosie. This is going to be good for us. Hey, let's talk some footy because it is a big day of AFL and a huge week of news, of course. I want to ask you about Sam Murray first, Joey, because the positive test confirmed by the club yesterday, believed to be cocaine, maybe 3 or 4 days out from the Richmond game. You know, it's a huge blow for the Collingwood Football Club and for the player himself. He faces up to 4 years out of the game, which is just a shattering blow, potentially career over. I want to ask you, Joey, if you're a senior leader at the Collingwood Football Club and you get that news, how frustrated are you? How disappointed are you?
Oh, no doubt you're all those things. You're frustrated, you're disappointed. There's an element,
angry.
You're still angry, but you still feel for the man as well. I mean, one of the things that Ross Lyon used to talk about a lot, you know, our great coach, was you got to challenge the behaviour but support the person. And that is still exactly the case in this scenario. You've got to challenge his behaviour and you can't really feel sorry for a man if what's been alleged has taken place, but you still need to support the person. You can't just abandon them. So it's a difficult situation. It's a bit of a balancing act. I think Collingwood, unfortunately, have had a bit of history in this with Josh Thomas and Lachie Keefe.
Certainly
and,
have.
And both of them have turned their lives around from, you know, Josh Thomas, particularly with his football. So
it's possible.
It is possible, absolutely. But it's also damn frustrating and disappointing for the football club, because no doubt they've been doing so much work around their, you know, their alcohol and drug policy. And then for this to happen, and then it does, it leads to that conversation about their culture and do they have a drug problem and all those things, which could be unfair, but there's every reason to ask that question when this has happened again.
Well, you spoke about Nathan Buckley before being the AFL coach of the year. I think a lot of Collingwood fans would back him in, the captain, of course, Scotty Penderbury, and the rest of the leadership group to keep the ship on track, because they could finish top two and have a genuine shot at a premiership. Defensively, they do need some reinforcements. Yeah.
And that's the one thing I will say is I don't think this sort of stuff affects the playing group in regards to their football performance. I think
it won't distract them?
No, I think that distraction stuff, for me, my history playing football, it's a bit of a furphy that it distracts you from your performance. I don't know
how. You guys went through a bit.
Yeah, we did, but I don't know. But when you're playing a game of football and you're on the field and you're training and you're trying to win a game, sure, those distractions are not coming into it. And if you're a professional team and a mature group like this Pies side is, once they go out and play this weekend against Fremantle and then in the finals, they're not thinking about what's happening around the football club and Sam Murray's situation. They're just focusing on their football. So the one thing the Collingwood fans can be assured of is it will not affect their performance.
Who do you think is going to play in the grand final this year? Richmond and
toss a coin between the other seven clubs. Seriously, I'm going to probably still go with GWS Giants.
Yeah, okay. I reckon they're cooked.
But the Pies are very, very close.
Collingwood or Melbourne for me. Hey, interesting, the MVP player voting. That's where all the players vote on the best players from every team. There's three nominations from every club. Very interesting, Joey, that at Geelong, Joel Selwood, Patrick Dangerfield, and Gary Ablett weren't nominated.
And now these votes are done by your teammates. So the first round of votes are done by your own team, and you vote for your three players from your club that you want to be in the nomination ballot for MVP.
And that was, so the players that got nominated were Blitzarves, Hawkins, and
Tom Stewart.
And Tommy Stewart.
Yeah.
So wait, is that a bit of a backhanded slap for the Holy Trinity?
It's an interesting one. For me, I think it's maybe a subconscious effort for the rest of the Geelong playing group, almost saying, you know what, Ablett, Selwood, Dangerfield, they get a lot of love from everyone in the media. They've got all the accolades. Everyone knows how good they are. I think subconsciously the players have gone, you know what? And because you can't argue with those three players. Tom Hawkins has had an All-Australian year.
Brilliant.
Blitzarves has been brilliant all of a sudden as a key defender. And Tom Stewart is still in All-Australian consideration. So there's probably this subconscious view of the rest of the Geelong teammates maybe thinking, not we're sick of it, but yeah, we know that Ablett and Dangerfield and Selwood get a lot of love and they're the best players. But these other three guys need to get recognised. And I don't know whether, I'm sure it wasn't a deliberate where they've all got together and said, let's not vote for the Holy Trinity. But subconsciously, all the Cats teammates are on the same page. No, let's give a bit of love to some other players that might not get as recognised. So I really like it. And that's the beauty of peers voting for one another, is you get more of an insight into what your teammates and then the rest of the competition think about you overall.
Now, what about at your old club, St Kilda? It was Jimmy Webster, Sebby Ross, and Jakey Carlisle. Are they the best three players at the Saints?
Well, most valuable player as the award. Now, you would have thought Jade Gresham would have got a vote there. That's interesting that they've left him out and they've gone for Jimmy Webster probably instead. So there is almost a little bit to an element of a little bit of playing favourite, not playing favourites, but you know, who do you like a bit better? And because no doubt Jade Gresham has been probably in St Kilda's top couple of best players this year. Now, he might not finish top three in their best and fairest, so you can't really argue, because Seb Ross, Jake Carlisle, Jimmy Webster and Jack Stephen will probably finish in the top three or four in the BNF. So they're going by BNF voting. Depends on how you want to look at it in regards to the most valuable, where they all sit. But that's the beauty, again, of it, is everyone gets their right to have a vote.
It's a popularity contest. Let's be honest, Joey, before we push on, who do you think the players will vote the MVP this year? Because it is shaping up as one of the more even contests.
I think it is. I think for the last 10 years, it's been pretty obvious who the most valuable player of the competition's been, whether we go Dusty and then Dangerfield and Fife, and then before that, it was Ablett for a long time. This year, you can have Gorn and Grundy, arguably, because when you talk about most valuable, it's how good would they be without them in the team.
Yep.
I still think Dusty and Danger will still get some votes from a lot of people. There are a lot of players that, let's be honest, Jay, don't put a lot of thought into it, and we'll just go, Dusty. Dusty's still the best player in the comp, and he probably rightly is, so he'll get a lot of votes.
A lot of players don't even watch footy.
A lot of players don't watch football. So, but then you're going to have the few that are going to vote, no doubt Tom Mitchell, because he's probably had the best season.
Yep.
But Paddy Cripps will get some votes. Clayton Oliver will get some votes. So I think this will be a really tight season.
Who would be your 3-2-1 MVP players of the year, as voted by the players? Start with one vote. Who would you give
So Wednesday night, I think it is, the MVP, the Players' MVP Award. Very prestigious award. The Players voted by your peers. It's right up there with one of the best awards you can win. If I did my 3-2-1, I was still playing, I would have given one vote to Tom Mitchell.
Yep.
No doubt the best season of any player this year, deserves to be in the top three. Max Gawn would get two votes for me. I think he's been unbelievable for Melbourne and been a key reason why they are still a premiership chance. But I'd give my three votes if I was doing it.
It's controversial.
I'd give it to Paddy Cripps.
What?
Yeah, Paddy Cripps has been unbelievable.
Oh, come on, Joey.
Talk about most valuable player. He has single-handedly carried the Carlton Football Club this year.
Won two games, Joey.
Yeah, but his season, for what he's done, for a team that only won two games, was phenomenal. Paddy Cripps has been the most valuable player in the competition this year.
Oh, that is going to melt the internet, I think. Lee Montagna, three votes to Paddy Cripps. Brownlow medal favourite Tommy Mitchell won more possessions than anyone in the history of the game.
He did. He's had a brilliant season.
$1.20 Brownlow medal favourite gets just the one vote. Extraordinary. I like the recognition for the ruckman, though. That is good. Hey, it's time for one of our favourite segments.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Yes, give me a spell time, and I'm going to open the batting today. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Our Australian government, the situation there, fair dinkum. Yeah, what's going on?
We're
changing. We're changing leaders like I'm changing light globes, or my father-in-law changes the light globes,
or your grandmother neighbour
mowing the lawns for me. Our government, fair dinkum. What is going? Give me a spell. I can't keep up.
Oh, it was exciting though.
It was. Oh, was it? Was it exciting?
Oh, you know who's it going to be? And then bloody ScoMo.
You know, would have been exciting. We could have bet
certainly
on it.
Not
that
Peter
would have been
Dutton.
Exciting.
You could have bet on it.
I was a bit slow on that. That would have been exciting. But give me a
lot of people lost money in this office on Julie yesterday.
Yeah,
a lot of sad
Peter Dutton looked like Winks there for a while, and then all of a sudden he just dropped in the back of the field and didn't pick him back up. So give me a spell, our Australian government.
It was excellent coverage, Rosie, to your and the boys' credit.
The hot breakfast going on till 11 a.m. the other day, Joey.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ed was just beside himself.
Ed would have loved
it.
It
was so good.
I was tuning in and enjoyed every minute, especially when they cut back from a song or interrupted the song.
Oh, yeah.
Because
40
you weren't
of
sure
non-stop
about
rock.
It. I can tell. But ScoMo, Scotty Morrison, a bit like Steve Bradbury, he's come from the rafters to become the new Prime Minister of Australia. I tell you what, give me a spell, Joey.
Yeah.
Look, I got a small issue, and this will surprise no one who knows, but I sort of misplaced my keys at the moment. I think they might be somewhere in this building. So I came in for a rush hour spot and left without my keys. So look, I'm sure I'll find them at some point, but I had to get a new key, and it's got the sort of that electronic sort of, you know, car unlocking feature.
Yep.
Do you know how much it cost me down there at Elizabeth Street Toyota for a new key?
No. Nope. How much?
$450. Give me a spell, Joey.
Oh, that's an expensive lost keys.
You can't just go to the supermarket and get the key cut at the old bloke. He'll do it for
get a coat hanger.
$7. $450. I got the service at the time, new set of rear brake pads, and it was $1,200. Absolutely extraordinary. So $450, that lost
give
key
me a spell.
Sent me back. Rosie,
give me a spell. Yep. The French Open. They have banned Serena Williams from wearing her brilliant cat suit that she had made especially for her to wear. It's not only fashion forward, but it's functional.
Yep.
And just give me a spell. I tried to change my Aths uniform in year 7 and year 8, so I didn't have to wear a skirt and bloomers, but I could wear, you know, like a rowing suit.
Yep.
That didn't get through for a couple of years, but give me a spell, French Open. Get with the times.
Yeah, absolutely, French Open. Get with
La
the
wankers.
Times. Yeah, right.
La
well,
wankers.
Before we go, we've got to close because the Saturday Rub boys are joining us in a minute.
The Dead Set Legend of the week.
Champion becomes a legend last week, Winks. How good was that? Never in doubt, Jay. You were worried that Winks might have got beaten, and
pat
I said, please, Winks is an absolute certainty. Our Dead Set Legend this week goes to a man named Tyson Goldsack,
good.
Who this morning right now is out on the football field playing again. He was only, how many days since he last played, Jay?
168.
168 days. 24 weeks ago, he did his ACL. It's third fastest in history. He's out there today. He's pushing for a grand final tilt. Wouldn't that be a great story if Tyson Goldsack was able to play finals football for Collingwood and get them to another grand final?
With Matthew Sharenberg out for the year with a knee, he could play in 2 weeks' time. Joey, great show. You've been outstanding, Rosie. Loved your work. Great. Give
Thanks
me a spell.
Me.
One vote, Jay Clark. Two votes, Lee Montagna. Three votes, Rosie.
Stick with the Saturday Rub boys. They'll be all over the footy. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
This has been Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Catch up anytime on the Triple M app. Pedder's new world first vehicle weight matrix software. Know your weight at pedders.com.au.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
And it was a great week, wasn't it, Joey?
I liked it. I did like my own work this morning.
That was good.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Listener app.